One of the first things our investigation disclosed about Pooh was that he revelled in deception. His identity was always a matter of mystery, even to those who knew him. Listen to this, for example.
Once upon a time, a very long time ago now, about last Friday, Winnie the Pooh lived in a forest all by himself, under the name of Saunders.
You'll note there that not only is his identity obscured, but even the timescale for his exploits has been subtly altered to protect him. Other noms de crime include Edward Bear and an assortment of dubious aristocratic titles. As far as we can discover, his first foray into crime took the form of a wanton attack on a peaceful colony of bees, and it was only natural that he should use his considerable powers of disguise to make his raid. Commandeering a large blue balloon, Pooh is known to have ascended to the level of the bees, disguised as a small black cloud. This was only the beginning. From here, Pooh branched out into illegal big game poaching, and as this recorded revelation makes clear, he took pains to hide even the fact that he was English. The accomplice mentioned here, Piglet, has been identified as a strange, androgynous creature who accompanied the master criminal on most of his exploits. The informant wishes to remain anonymous.
I have decided to catch a heifer.
Oh.
I'll do it by means of a trap, so you'll have to help me, Piglet. Pooh's first idea was that they should dig a very deep pit, and then the heffalump would come along and fall into the pit.
Why?
Why what?
Why would he fall in?
Well, Piglet, the heffalump might be walking along and humming a little song, hum, 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 and looking up at the sky and wondering if it would rain, and he wouldn't see the very deep pit until he was halfway down, when it would be too late.
Oh, I think that would be a very cunning trap.
But Pooh's capacity for deception brought its own nemesis. So devious were his mental processes that he could convince himself of almost anything. Even when delivering a jar of honey as a payoff to one of his associates, he was unable to keep in touch with reality.
Oh, dear, dear, I didn't know it was as late as that. I'd better just sit down and take the top off this jar of honey. It's lucky I brought it with me. Many a bear going out on a warm day like this would never have thought of bringing a little something with him. Oh, now I feel better. Now let me see. Where was I going? Ah, yes, Eeyore. I've just remembered. I've eaten Eeyore's birthday present.
Of course, there are mitigating circumstances. The 100-acre wood was not a good environment for the young Pooh to grow up in, but a haven for charlatans and shysters of all kinds. Listen to the response of this bogus academic when the illiterate Pooh requested him to write a threatening message.
Can you read, Pooh?
Hmm?
There's a notice about knocking and ringing outside my door,
oh, yes,
which Christopher Robin wrote.
Yes.
Can you read it?
Well, Christopher Robin told me what it said, and then I could.
Ah, well, I'll tell you what this says,
yes,
and then you'll be able to.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
Pooh looked on admiringly.
I'm just saying a happy birthday.
Yes, it's a nice long one, Al.
Well, actually, of course, Pooh, I'm saying a very happy birthday with love from Pooh. Naturally, it takes a good deal of pencil to say a long thing like that.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
In such an atmosphere, Pooh perhaps inevitably came to suffer from delusions of grandeur. He had himself made hero, first class, and claimed to have discovered the North Pole. He even raised public funds to pay for bogus expeditions. At the height of his fame and power, he had his sycophants and sidekicks compose songs glorifying his exploits. Meanwhile, Pooh's criminal career went from strength to strength. It was he who masterminded the kidnapping of Baby Roo. It was he who inspired the brainwashing of Tigger and invented the euphemism unbouncing as a cover-up. He moved into the seamier end of the leisure industry with a sinister game known only as Poo Sticks. But perhaps his most sophisticated crimes involved the exploitation of the housing shortage in the Hundred Acre Wood. He and Piglet, under a cloak of altruism, began a speculative building program. They decided to maximize their profit by the fiendish device of demolishing existing property and reusing the materials. Listen to the pathetic complaint of one of their victims.
I don't know how it is, Christopher Robin, but what did all this snow and one thing and another, not to mention icicles and such like, it isn't so hot in my field about 3 o'clock in the morning as some people think it is. It isn't close, if you know what I mean. Not so as to be uncomfortable. It isn't stuffy. In fact, Christopher Robin, quite between ourselves and don't tell anybody, it's cold. So what it all comes to is that I built myself a house down by my little wood.
Did you really? How exciting.
Yeah, the really exciting part is that when I left it this morning, it was there, and when I came back, it wasn't.
Eeyore.
Oh, not at all. Very natural. It was only Eeyore's house. But still, I just wonder.
Pooh and Piglet, of course, smart-talked their way out of this one as they had done out of every other. They convinced Christopher Robin. They convinced E.H. Shepherd. They convinced A.A. Milne. They go on deceiving adults and children in every generation. Why? How do they continue to exert their power? The answer remains an enigma. And if there is any solution to the mystery, it must lie, we believe, in some of the strange gnomic verse in the composition of which this master criminal would spend the less violent moments of his existence.
Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston pie, a fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle and I reply. Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston pie.
Back home, J.B.